Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. This may be as much a Bible study as it is a sermon. We'll just see how the Lord directs it. It's based upon what we have here. It certainly seems like a lot more like a Bible study to me than it does like a sermon. However, when we pray tonight, I'm going to pray that the Lord will allow us just to relax, which you do mostly anyway, which is good. And to allow Him to use the Bible as a microscope on our hearts and to show us from the Scripture whether any of these things that we're looking at tonight address a specific spiritual need in our lives. You know, it's one thing to get an understanding and read the Bible and say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's good. Boy, that was really good. It's another thing to open the heart, remove the veil, and let God speak to us and be honest enough with God to say, you know what, that hurt. That was for me. I needed that. This Bible has been a great blessing to me in that respect. Its x-ray vision, its spiritual x-ray vision has pointed out things in my life that I found disgusting. But after the Lord then provided the remedy in His goodness, I find that those things that He showed me were a great benefit, a great pleasure. I was telling somebody just the other day about reading Psalm 119 in September of 1986, and I said the thing that really struck me that night is, first of all, God's superior holiness. And secondly, my wretchedness. But thirdly, and thank God for today, that He was willing to communicate His righteousness to my wretchedness and change it. But you can't, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, will never be applied to our wretchedness if we deny the need. And we deny that we have that problem. So then when I say tonight, let's let the x-ray vision of the Bible minister to us as people, as a church, God can do something for us if we're willing to let Him tell us, that's your problem. You know, sometimes you go to the doc and the doc says, well, this is your problem. And if it's something that can be remedied with a pill or with surgery or something like that, you're like, okay, we can get this fixed. But when you have to make life changes in order to remedy the problem, it's not fun. He says, your problem is cholesterol, and what you need to do is you need to change your diet. And you're like, I'm not giving up fried chicken. Not this stage of the game. And it's hard because of the self-denial. It's hard that you have to admit, I did this to myself. Or allowed these things to happen. So tonight, let's be truthful and open with God and let Him speak to us. And if He shows us something out of the Scripture that fits us, let's wear it and let Him minister His goodness and righteousness to that and make some changes. I think we'll find that in the end, we'll look back on this day and say, thank God that He showed me that from the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 23, we're in the middle of a sentence, but we really begin the thought here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's the subject tonight. The main thought tonight, but then it hinges on all these other things that remain in the chapter. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's a fabulous passage of Scripture. And there's some things in here that have great application, I believe, to our lives tonight. And so let's let the Lord speak to us and let Him show us what he has for us in the Scripture. Doyle, if you will, pray for us tonight. We'd appreciate that. Amen. 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 Now the Christian life is a spiritual life. Oftentimes you hear very practical messages. You go to the college and career class, young family class, you hear very practical messages. And sometimes you get the idea that the spiritual life is simply a practical life. And while it has practical applications, it's a spiritual life. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so for us to grow as Christians, for us to live the Christian life, it's not a practice. He does say, that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's not a practice. It's a spiritual life. It's a spiritual change that then affects what you do. Randy was preaching last week and he talked about repentance, and it's a change of mind, a change of heart, and then a change of action. But you can change your action without changing your mind and changing your heart. That's disastrous, you see. So it's a spiritual thing that takes place inside. And like the Lord said, if you get the inside of that cup and platter clean, the outside will be clean. Okay? So the Christian life is a spiritual life. So he says to us in verse 23, be renewed. How? In the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. And that's a good place, because the Bible says that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the mind and the heart communicate. And so much of what we do stems from what we think about. You know, but sometimes it seems in our lives, as we are trying to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that there are spiritual obstacles. You've heard over and over again, ever since you've been saved, you need to read your Bible and pray and come to church. So you read your Bible and you pray and come to church, and nothing happens. Or very little happens. You're like, man, what am I missing here? And sometimes what you're missing is something that's very simple. There's a spiritual obstacle in the way of your spiritual life. And so as you are attempting to be renewed in the spirit of your mind by doing those things that you know you are to do, praying and reading and so forth, you see little change, or you see laborious change, and you're like, man, what's going on here? It shouldn't be like this now. I keep battling the same areas in my life and so forth. Well, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like rowing with the anchor out. I told you one time I was fishing and we had caught a slew of fish, you know, and the friend that I was fishing with said, reach back there and take a look at those fish. And I held them up and he held us up. Man, we had a lot of fish, and we saw something over here, made us think there were more fish, and we're rowing. I thought, boy, we've got so many fish out there. It's just like drag on this boat. We can hardly go. And I looked back there and the anchor rope was out, you know. And oftentimes the renewing of our mind is like rowing a boat with the anchor rope out. It's like we're not making nearly the progress that we think we should for all the struggle that we're putting into it. It's like I've often described a man living the Christian life, and one foot is nailed to the floor. So he has a Christian walk, but it looks like this. He doesn't seem to make much progress. He's doing an awful lot of doing, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, but it doesn't appear that much is changing. No. I'm just about to finish a book that Bo recommended that I read, because they're on the Appalachian Trail, and the fellow and his partner parted ways for a period of time and rejoined each other later, and he had done a lot of day hiking with a day pack, and suddenly they were going to go through the 100-mile wilderness up in Maine, and they put the backpack back on, which he hadn't been carrying for a long time. He's like, wow, what a strain. I had forgotten how heavy this thing was, and oftentimes we live the Christian life and we have this backpack of something loading us down. And so in this passage, we're going to look at this. We're going to look at some spiritual obstacles to spiritual renewal. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we're going to look at some spiritual obstacles to spiritual renewal. And the first spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal is deceitfulness. The first obstacle is deceitfulness. Notice what he says here again. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, in the broadest sense of the word, if you are a liar, you're very much like the devil. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord spoke to the Pharisees. He said, I'm telling you what your problem is. You're of your father, the devil. And he says, when he speaketh, he speaketh a lie, for there's no truth in him. He is a liar. One time, one of our children told yet another lie, and I said, what'd you do that for? I said, I don't know, it's the first thing that comes to mind. I just speak it. Yeah, well, I know that's funny, but when we think about it now, but the truth of the matter is, so often we're that way. You find yourself not speaking 100% truthfully to other people in conversations because if they knew the truth, you see, they would take a different view of you and where you are spiritually. And so oftentimes you'll say things that, like the Pharisees, aren't exactly true. Politicians are classic for this. And, you know, ultimately, a politician needs to be reelected in this day and age. He wants to be reelected. And he needs to raise money, or she needs to raise money in order to get elected. And so, you know what? They say what? They say what you want to hear. You know, we're not a whole lot different than that as Christians sometimes. We sort of get, I think if I say this, he'll be delighted or she'll be delighted with what I said. And so we kind of put the spiritual lie, the spiritual deceitfulness, to the question that was raised, and that's not truthful. And that will become a spiritual obstacle to your spiritual renewal because you know deep down you're not telling the truth. In John chapter 7, the Lord asked the Pharisees, why goeth you about to kill me? And they said, who goeth about to kill you? You know, you have a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? And five verses later, people said, oh, that was Jesus. That's the one they wanted to kill. I mean, they just instantly denied that that's what they wanted to do. But the truth of the matter is they did want to kill him, trying to stone him and eventually crucified him. They couldn't hide their true motives by a lie. He knew that. And so we oftentimes lie. And the reason is we want to appear more spiritual than we are. That's all. I mean, when you get down to it ultimately, when Ananias and Sapphira lied in Acts chapter 5, they wanted to appear more spiritual than they really were. They sold a possession, you know the story. And pretended that they sold it for less than they really sold it for and gave all the money. And Peter cornered him and he said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You've lied to God. So, you know, we need to realize something. When you lie deceitfully, live a lie in front of other people. In other words, you've got your church life and then you have your other life. And this is a lie. The fact that you're lying to us is of really no consequence because you're lying to the Holy Ghost. And you're lying to God. And you cannot grow and live a deceitful life. You have a spiritual obstacle to your spiritual renewal, and all the Bible reading and all the prayer and all the stuff you're doing to try to get past this, what is it, speed bump in the road, is that you haven't been truthful with God. And it reveals itself in that you're not being truthful to each other. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Somebody asks you, are you mad at me? Oh, no. And you are. Yeah, I am. I mean, you can get some mileage, you can get that fixed, but you can't get no fixed. You see what I'm saying? But it makes it feel bad and look bad to say, oh, yeah, I am mad at you, as a matter of fact. But you can't get any traction with that. Can't change it. There's another spiritual obstacle to your spiritual renewal, and that is angriness. Angriness. Look here in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now I like that. Be ye angry and sin not indicates there is a possible time that to be angry and not sin. If you read through your Bible, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them numerous times, but he never sinned. And his anger was appropriate. The only difference is he's God and we're not. And generally speaking, we can't get angry without sinning. I mean, some of us in here today still get angry and a bad word slips out. I don't know who you are. I don't know who we are. No. But I mean, what I'm saying is it's pretty easy for us being human beings to be angry and to sin in doing so. And so he makes this caveat, leaving room for us to be angry at the same thing that God gets angry at without sinning. And so he puts this on there. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you're still stewing when the sun goes down, you're sinning. I don't think I've ever been angry that I wasn't still angry when the sun went down. In other words, for me, I don't know about you, I can't get angry without sinning. I can't do it. I wish I could sometimes, but it's just not in me. So, you know what that means? I'm just being truthful with you tonight. I got to really get control of my spirit. I cannot get angry or it's going to be bad. It's just the way it is. You know, Saul in the Old Testament was a bad cat. You remember who he is, first king, and he tried to kill David and eventually tried to kill Jonathan and all that. When you read through he's a very complex sinner. He's got a lot of problems, okay? Pride and idolatry and witchcraft and stubbornness and rebellion, not the least of which are his bad sins. But you know what? Right before he started throwing javelins at David, he got angry. And you know what got him angry? Does anybody remember what brought out Saul's wrath against David? He got jealous. It was the songs that was being sung after the battle. David has killed his 10,000s and Saul his thousands. The only problem with that song is they were still attributing too many to Saul. That was the only problem with that song. And the next verse, he was wroth with David. And I'm telling you, it was after all that he tried to kill him and tried to kill him and tried to kill him till he killed himself trying to kill him, in essence. And then over there, he throws a javelin at Jonathan. He doesn't do that until Jonathan is standing up for David. And then he gets so angry at him, he tries to kill his own son, the very man that he was hoping would be able to get the throne. Now tell me that he wasn't sinning. Of course he was. Of course he was. Anger is a spiritual thing. Look with me at a couple of passages. I said this is going to be more of a Bible study than it is a sermon, so I guess you have to look at some Bible to see it. I'm telling you a few stories you already know. Proverbs 16. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 16. It doesn't hurt to read the Bible. That's how we learn. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, now look at this, at verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. There is a spiritual connection to your ability to control your anger, to be slow to anger. It has a spiritual effect. Again, you're already close to this book, so go to Ecclesiastes, next book. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 9. Notice the spiritual connection. We're talking about spiritual obstacles to spiritual renewal. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Do you see that? So there's a spiritual connection. Now, I don't know what you're mad at tonight. if you are mad. But God knows. And truly, if you will not be deceitful, you know what you're mad at. Some people carry around anger as a chip. You say, how would I know? Well, first of all, if you just allow the Lord to zoom, it could be something that happened to you as a child. It could be something that happened to you that you did or didn't do. Somebody crossed you. It could have been a financial dealing. It could have been a job-related issue. It could be a marital thing. It could be any number of things. But I'll tell you what you know is that it's very easy for you to get mad again over another matter, unrelated. Okay? That's what, because you're already edgy, see? Your spirit is already affected. The powder keg is full of powder and the fuse is out of the can. All it's waiting for is a spark. And then kaboom! I said, man, how in the world that happened? You've already got it in you, see? And that's a spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal. There's a preacher named S.M. Davis, and he said a spiritual life, that you cannot have a spiritual life while you maintain an angry life. Some people are still mad at their parents. Still mad at a situation. Even some far removed. I was talking to a couple one time, and she was telling me about a situation involving her husband. She was mad. I'm telling you, she was mad. Somebody threw a rock in the wasp nest, boy. She was mad. And I don't know what prompted me to ask this question, but I said, when did that happen? She said, 21 years ago. My goodness. Now, you know what? They got that settled. And things changed. Angriness is a spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal. Here's another one. Verse 27. Really, 27 goes really well with 26, but I'll just make this comment. Wickedness. Wickedness. Neither give place to the devil. So how do I do that? He's got a lot of ways, man. He's got a lot of ways. About every one of these we're talking about will involve the devil in some degree, but basically I say wickedness. Why? Because look at Ephesians chapter 6, next chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. The whole armor of God in verse 11 is for a purpose. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. Watch it. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the first time that the word wickedness shows up in the Bible, I'll read it to you, is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I'm going to tell you something, if you don't know this already, there's very little going on in the world today that's not wicked. And the music is wicked, the movies are wicked, the internet is wicked. The thoughts are wicked. The attitudes are wicked. Employers are wicked. Politicians are wicked. You're going to find exceptions to that rule everywhere. I understand that. You're going to say, well, yeah, but that movie was a good movie. And, you know, somebody recommended to me to see God Is Not Dead. I haven't seen it, but they said, that's a good movie. I'm not recommending it to you when I say that. I'm just telling you. A preacher said that was an interesting movie for a reason. So I'm saying you may find some exceptions to these rules. I'm not saying that across the board, but I'm telling you what, you are seeing Noah's generation again. And Jesus said it would be that way. And that has a spiritual effect on people. One of the reasons it's so hard for us to witness is that people are already consumed with wickedness. And so when you give place to the devil with wickedness, then that is going to be a spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You've got to be very, very careful. And I'm being gracious with you tonight. I sometimes want to jump up on the soapbox and bang around here and make a fool out of myself. But that's not going to change whether you receive this or not. So I'll just be very gracious with you tonight. Many of you are not careful enough on the internet. Just help me out here. You're clicking around and looking at things and reading things and involving your minds in things that are not for Christian people. They're just not. Even a cell phone, you don't have to, I'm not talking about the computer, I'm talking about anything that connects you. We always used to say you're one click away. I'm not sure you're even one click away anymore. I think just when you get on there, you're already exposing yourself to the temptation to go one step further. Many of you are not, you're not careful with your televisions, and you are exposing yourself continually to wickedness. Sometimes you're so desensitized to it now, you don't know that. Honestly, if all of us right here, we just say, you know what? Right as soon as we finish this sermon, we're going to have a big charter bus out there, and we're all going to get on the bus, and we're going on a retreat. And if we went away to a retreat, and we read our Bibles, and we prayed, and we had fellowship together, and we didn't have a cell phone, we didn't have a computer, we didn't have any of that contact, we just had good preaching every night, and good fellowship, and we fasted some, and prayed some, and all that, and we came back here, I tell you, your attitude about what you're doing now would be different. Which tells me we've become desensitized to wickedness. Now here's what's happened. You leave a place out there for the devil. Because he's got snares everywhere. It's like walking through a minefield. It really is. And so he's got snares out there everywhere. And the thing is, you're not spiritually sharpened like you would be if you weren't exposed to that stuff every day. And if you were, you'd be like, whoa, man, I can't go in there. That's a minefield. That's a really good place for the devil to trip me up. I'm not going in there. So wickedness is a spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal. I'll say this. Even if you never saw anything bad, how many of you, we're all dating ourselves here, watched Leave It to Beaver when you were kids? Now, was there anything really wrong with Leave It to Beaver? Except for Wally Cleaver. I mean, yeah, you know, and Father Knows Best, and you know, he wore pajamas buttoned to here, and she wore a robe to here, and slept in different beds, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. That necessity to see things presented on video limited my ability to read the Bible and understand it when I first started reading the Bible. And in that sense, it was wickedness because it was an obstacle to the Spirit of God revealing the words of God to me because I could not visualize what I was reading and I hadn't been watching things that were bad. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I was pristine and pure. I did see some things I shouldn't have seen, but I'm talking about in those days, just the exposure to that. So you get on the computer like this, and then we're going to sit down with black words on white paper. And we're going to try to stay awake and find this interesting. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not flashy. And this is not going to be interesting. It really isn't. And the problem is, you've given a little place to the devil there and didn't even realize it because there is spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, here's another one. In verse 28, another spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal is laziness. Laziness. In verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, when you read, you say, is there really a spirit associated with this? I don't know. Look at this with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 11. We preached a part of this verse the other day, serving the Lord. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 11. These two things seem to go together when you look at them. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in what? Spirit. And there is a relationship spiritually to laziness in your life. And when you look at Paul's ministry was characterized by labor and travail. In other words, there were many places that he went, like in Thessalonica and Corinth, to name two, where he worked with his own hands and supported his own crew so that he wouldn't be chargeable to the churches. And he used that as an example to them and said, "You want you to follow my example. You labor with your own hands." So I'll tell you that work is good. Listen up now. Tonight we have some young people here from the front rows all the way back. There's people that are young. The greatest thing in the world that you parents can do for your kids is this. Work them. Work them. Make them take out the trash, wash the dog, pick up after themselves, make the bed, do the laundry, wash the dishes. You say, "Well, they break them from time to time." Fine, get you another set when they break all those. You say, "Why?" They need to know how to work. Why? Because there is a spiritual connection that if they become slothful because they're used to you doing everything, they won't lift a finger to take care of themselves spiritually when they're older. So work them. That's what Paul said. Work them. Because there's a spiritual connection there. Listen, spiritually speaking today, Christians are extremely lazy. That's why they go to churches where they can go dressed in shorts and flip-flops and t-shirts because they don't want to take the time, put on nice clothes. They want to go there all flopped out and look at people that are all flopped out in ripped jeans, playing rock music and be entertained and hear a 20-minute motivational message and go home. And they think that's spiritual growth. And that's not spiritual growth. That's an emotional stimulation to get through another 24 hours. And that's lazy Christianity. And it has a spiritual connotation. Another spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal in this passage is in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. By the way, I need to say something. I'm watching our young people here grow, and I'm not comparing one against another. As I told you this morning, when they're 40, then we'll know how it worked. Okay? And I understand that. But you know, Pastor Keck told me the other day, his youth pay their own camp fees to go to youth. And the ones who are leaders do like some of ours did. They go to STACS, it's called Servant Training at Camp, whatever the name of the camp is that starts with a C, Chautauqua or something like that. Okay? His teens came to him this year and said, "Pastor," and what they do is they work at the junior camp and then they go to their own camp. They said, "We still want to pay our own fees, but can we be servants at both camps?" And he's like, "What? Well, you know, what's your motive here?" Well, there was a little personal motive, but they said, "We get so much more out of camp when we are serving than when we are being served." He said, in 9 years of going to camp, he said, four out of five comments that I get from other pastors after camp are going to be complimentary, and there's always, you know, one out of five, you know, some guy was chasing a girl or whatever the case may be. He said, this year, all of our campers went. They paid their own fees. They served in the junior camp and they served in their own camp. And when they got back, not one bad report. And they came back and told me, "Pastor, we got more out of this camp than any we've ever been to." You know what that tells me? There is a spiritual connection between serving and growth. And laziness is a spiritual obstacle. I just had to throw that illustration in there because I didn't want to leave that. That's a profound thing. I look at our own group, and you know, guys that show up here for work days and guys that are looking for opportunities to help up, you watch. There's a spiritual effect in their lives. They just seem to be walking closer with the Lord. Perverseness is the next one down here in verse 29. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth but that which is good to the use of edifying that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth but that which is good. So the next spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal is perverseness. Isaiah chapter 19 verse 14 speaks of a perverse spirit mingled. You know what we call modern Bibles? Perversions of the Word of God. Something that was changed. Something that was added, something that was taken away. Does it have a spiritual effect? Yeah, of course it does. What you notice when somebody is in a perversion, either they've, and I'm not talking about perverted things in the sense that the world uses it, I'm talking about spiritual perversion. When they're in that, their growth is limited. There are going to be contents of God's words mixed in there, but there's going to be a perverse spirit mingled in there as well. And it's going to limit the spiritual growth of the people who are in that book because there's going to be the influence of man among spiritual things. And it's going to affect spiritual growth. It's going to be an obstacle. Ever since the introduction of the modern perversions back in the 1800s, Christianity has just made a downward spiral continuously until we've gotten to where we are today. So, a corrupt communication. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And so they call those same Bibles corruptions. And that's why we stand against it. Because we know there's no error in the Bible that you have in your lap. We know that. And if it's pure, or as one man said, if it's not broke, why fix it? It will yield purity in the spirit. And perverseness in the spirit will result in perverseness in the spiritual life. Now that perversion is going to be manifested in what comes out of here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So he said, let no corrupt communication come out of your, proceed out of your mouth. You know what that indicates then? That we have to be watchful that the things we say are going to edify others and help others. You know, it's very, very common to slip up in the wrong company and seek a laugh by using something corrupt to get a laugh. Right? Dirty joke. A foul saying will gender a laugh like that. But have you ever noticed that with comedians that start out funny because they are comedians, that they get trashy in order to continue to entertain until they're so foul that they don't even know how to be funny without being foul? It's the same thing in Christianity. If you start in perverseness, you just get further and further away from the Lord. Best thing in the world for us to do is to have a real check on our spirit and remember that the things that come out of our mouths are a reflection of what's in our heart. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I heard a person one time that had a pretty foul mouth say, well, that doesn't pertain to Christians because we're under the blood. Isn't that funny how we have a way of exempting ourselves? You know, from time to time something comes out of your mouth and you're a little ashamed of what came out of there. You know what that's an indication? You've still got perverseness in your heart, and that is an obstacle to your spiritual renewal. Here's another spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Grieve not the Spirit of God. You know what that is? That's rebelliousness. Rebelliousness. When you look at the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, there's a statement over there in Hebrews chapter 13 about obeying them that have the authority over you, that they may they give account of your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. The Spirit of God has an obligation to the Lord God to get you to heaven in good shape. That's His work. He is conforming you continually from the time you get saved into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't grieve Him, you don't make His work hard. He does it with joy rather than with grief. But when you put up a fight and you're rebellious to His work, you're grieving the Spirit of God. And that rebelliousness is an obstacle to your spiritual renewal. Has the Lord ever shown you in a particular area of your life something that needs to change and you put up a fight? I have. Just yesterday. No. No, we're like that. We're like that. Sometimes it's because we don't want to change. Sometimes because the change is going to be hard. And every time you rebel against the words of God, against the work of the Spirit of God in your life, then that's going to be an obstacle to your spiritual renewal. Now let me show you something. Do you have spiritual authorities in your life? Can anybody here name a spiritual authority in your life? Not necessarily by name, maybe by position. Help me now. How about husband? Is he a spiritual authority in somebody's life? Like wife, maybe? It's okay, guys. I said relax. You know, we know that's biblical, right? Let me ask you this. How about spiritual authorities in your life? How about parents over children? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? How about the government? They are ministers of Christ. All the badge carriers in here are like, yeah, we are ministers of God. But you are. Romans chapter 13. How about pastors? Spiritual authorities in your life. Yeah, can these spiritual authorities abuse their positions? By all means. Yeah, judges or spiritual authorities, they are ministers of God for righteousness. But anybody in any of those positions can abuse his or her spiritual authority. We understand that. But may I tell you something? That doesn't change your responsibility to be obedient to the position of authority, even if you don't like the personality of the person occupying the position. That was a mouthful. I didn't get that. That's not original with me. I got that from Dr. Benny, stated just a little different way, but that's basically the same. Listen, as a child, listen to me, as a child, you say, what age am I as I'm still, you still living at home? Okay, you're still a child. You have an obligation to obey your spiritual authority. And if you don't, you're grieving the Spirit of God. And you have established a spiritual obstacle to your spiritual renewal. And it'll happen in homes with wives. It'll happen in homes with children and their parents. It will happen with you and your obedience to your spiritual authorities in government and in church. And you can't escape that it's going to have that effect. Rebelliousness. All right, here's another one. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, we've already talked about wrath and anger and so forth, so we'll concentrate on that word. Another spiritual obstacle to your spiritual growth is bitterness. Bitterness. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and I'm going to use a word here because I want you to get the effect of what he said to me. I was visiting, following up on a visit that one of our fishers of men made at a house, and I went back to that because it looked like there was a good possibility of making a visit here. This person supposedly got saved a month before, and I wanted to follow up, introduce myself as a pastor, see what kind of help we could be, and so forth like that. And I found out that the guy is a recent widower. His wife just passed away 2 months ago. Man, that was a shocking thing because I didn't expect that. And I told him that I was sorry and I recognized that he was grieving. I tried to minister to him a little bit. And my concern was in here that he might be getting mad at God. You ever known anybody that's been upset in a divorce or a death or something like that, get mad at God? Okay. So I said to him this. I said, you're not getting mad at God, are you? He said, hell no, I'm not getting mad at God. Now, move up two verses, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. You don't get it unless you hear how he said it. You know what? That's scary. That's scary. Because you know what that sounds like? Some of you have been down this road, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a bitterness beginning to set in. And I'm going to tell you something. That will affect your spiritual growth. You say, I'm bitter because Mom and dad divorced. I'm bitter because somebody took advantage of me when I was a child. I'm bitter because they didn't treat me fairly in such and such a situation. I'm bitter because I don't get the respect for my wife I deserve. I'm bitter because my husband is a dog. I'm bitter because, you know, just run it out. I'm bitter because, what did Rodney Dangerfield used to say? Nobody gives me any respect. Whatever the case is. It doesn't make any difference where it came from. Once that root is in there, it's there. I'm bitter, some people will say, because of some of the things I did when I was backslidden that I'm still paying for today. And it's killing me. It will. It's a spiritual obstacle to your spiritual renewal. And you know what you have to do? You got to get that out of there. And it's hard to do because it's rooted in. We were pulling weeds over here the other day. We've done it several times now. It's amazing how much landscaping we pulled out of those beds. And we got a hold of some bushes the first time we got in those beds. You couldn't pull them out and you didn't want to dig them out. So you know what we did? We put a tow rope around the base of that plant, hooked it up to the back of my truck, and drove off with it. Again and again and again, we pulled a bunch of them out of there that way. But let me tell you something. We got them out of there by the roots. And I said, man, we're so good. Some of those were fire bushes. I said, man, yes, sir. Went back over there. So the holders have started taking care of the beds now. And they said, you know what? We need to get some of the beds cleared out. We've got a little bit more over here to remove. And one of the things that was growing in there was a cantaloupe, which turned out to be a sour melon or a sweet melon or a stinky melon or whatever they call that thing. Anyway, it wasn't a cantaloupe at all. It grew all over the place. I mean, it grew all over the place. Ask Joey. He had to pull it out of there. I mean, he was pulling and 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 pulling. And guess what? When we got all that cleared out of there, guess what was growing? Fire bushes. From plants we had jerked out of there with that truck a year ago, they were coming back. You know why? We didn't get all the roots. That's bitterness. You think you got it all out of there, and it's still there, some of it. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know it, just get around a bitter person for a little while and you will find out bitterness is destructive and it will be an obstacle to your spiritual renewal. One more, verse 32. You've been very patient. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. An unforgiving spirit. Unforgiveness is a spiritual obstacle to your spiritual renewal. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll see the connection. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The church as a whole has to forgive a man that was messing up in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He's gotten it straightened out. Paul tells them in verse 7 they need to forgive him. And in verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. He said, I'm just like an ambassador. Because he was the one that told him to kick him out of there, so now he's telling him, now forgive him, as if Christ were to tell you this himself. Then verse 11, why? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. An unforgiveness is a spiritual obstacle to spiritual renewal. Now, who's crossed you? Bless God, I'm not going to forgive that person. There are people like, I'm telling you, I deal with it regularly. There are people that don't want to forgive people for something they've done to them that wasn't right. And I know it's not right. You still got to forgive them. I remember something happened to me one time. Biggest, I would say, in recent history, all of my ministry time, biggest thing that happened to me that just, I mean, just floored me. And I called a preacher friend of mine. And he said, you know how you've heard forgive and forget? He said, I'm going to advise you not to forget because you don't want this to ever happen to you again. But I'm going to tell you, you do need to forgive. You know, that was very wise counsel. Because I didn't hold on to it and haven't held on to it so that I can be mad or unforgiving. Matter of fact, with anybody that was involved in it, we've had face-to-face communication and it's really forgiven. Really is. Absolutely. But you don't forget so that when the same situations are beginning to brew again, you're wise enough to recognize we're not going down that road again. It's just wise. But I'm going to tell you, you know what? Some people, you know why they don't forget? Because they want to hold on to it. It feeds their anger and it feeds their bitterness. And they're somehow so steeped in bitterness and so steeped in anger, they need unforgiveness to keep fueling it because, bless God, I'm never letting go of this. And I'll tell you something. You are spiritually stunted. You know what a scrub oak is? A scrub oak is an oak that if it was in better soil, for most parts, would grow to be a bigger tree. But it's in bad soil. It's in rock. And when you're unforgiving, your heart is like rock. You'll have a tree there, but it's going to look a whole lot more like a little ligustrum and not like a big towering oak at all. And everybody say, well, there's a Christian right there. But how come that Christian didn't grow? So that right there, because one time, another Christian, a person who should have known better, crossed that person. And they said, bless God, I'm never going to let that happen to me again. And they've been hanging on to that ever since, and they won't forgive them. And they're stuck like that. And that's where they're going to end up in heaven, stuck as a little scrub oak. You can't hang on to that stuff. You know what I would do if I were you tonight, if I had somebody against whom I had a thing like that and I'd been hanging on to it? First person I'd go to is God Almighty. And I'd say, God, tonight, you shine that light, a microscope right in my heart. You showed it to me. I've seen it. I know I've heard it preached before. But tonight, you're just kicking me around about it. And I want to first confess to you, I was wrong not to forgive because you've already forgiven me. As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I want you to give me the strength and the wisdom and the resolve to go see that person and forgive him and be done with this. And you know something? You're going to notice a difference in your spiritual life. See, but I'd be scared to death to do it. You get to pick whether you want to be a towering oak or a scrub oak. I don't want to be a scrub oak. If there's more growth to have, and I know there is, I want all I can get. So these things are real clear. Hopefully tonight, you know, hopefully tonight the Lord spoke to you. Shined his intense laser light right on that thing and said, that's the one right there. That's the one right there. That's where my foot is nailed to the ground. That's where my anchor rope is stuck in the mud. And we're going to go back and pull that out and we're going to get this thing freed up and we're going to move on because it can't be hung here anymore, wherever that may be tonight. That's between you and the Lord. I pray that the Bible has done something for you. It's surely done something for me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful tonight for the opportunity to simply look in the Bible. What a novelty. Open the Bible and see what you have to say about us. Father, I'm very thankful for these words. I have no idea what you'd like to do with us tonight after this. Perhaps just go home and think about it. Perhaps have an invitation. It's all with you, Lord. I just ask you that whatever it is you want to get done with us tonight, that you get it done. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.